Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's canine educator. Today, I'm sitting down and having a conversation with my good friend, Kelly Lund. Kelly is owner of Loki the Wolf Dog, a very really awesome duo on a bunch of different social media platforms that have become social influencers, basically because they have a really great relationship, and many of you out there know Loki very well and follow his every move, and their relationship and their life is basically created and really paved off a really great relationship that I hope everybody gets a chance to have at one point in their life. And so that's what we're sitting down to talk to today, and welcome Kelly.
Hey, brother.
Hey, Kelly. How you doing, man?
Good. You?
Good. How's life?
It's good, man. Busy. Packing up, heading out to Portland in a few days. You're going to be out there soon, right?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be out there in April, actually, here in a little bit. A couple weeks, 3 weeks, I think. So,
nice.
Yeah, man. Well, we're rolling. So, welcome to the No Bad Dogs podcast.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, man. And well, go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, my name's Kelly Lund, and my dog's name is Loki, Loki the Wolf Dog on Instagram, and we live in Denver, Colorado, and we are what you might call social influencers, which kind of evolved over the last few years. At first, we didn't set out to be that, but it just kind of evolved into that, and we travel around quite a bit. We live part-time in Portland as well, and Portland, Oregon. And, yeah.
Awesome, man. And how old, before we get into some of the logistics of the social media and stuff like that, how old is Loki right now?
Loki's five.
Cool.
5 years old. His mom was a husky and his dad was a wolf and a Malamute. So he's what's called a low content wolf dog.
Cool.
Which means he's more dog than he is wolf.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, and Loki, for those of you who don't know, Loki has a huge social media presence, and Kelly and I, like I said in the introduction, Kelly and I became friends over the last couple of years, and you know, when we first kind of got to know each other, we kind of scratched each other's backs as far as what we did, you know, spreading messages and really trying to help people become better dog owners. And I absolutely love what Kelly and Loki are doing, because they're basically putting on a huge platform. I mean, I think you have like 1.7 million followers, which is gigantic. You know how many people you're reaching, and a lot of that is very organic. So you're really, you know, you have a huge fan base of people who watch like your every move, which is really fantastic. And one of the biggest reasons why I, you know, reached out to you guys and why I love your what you're doing is you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you've built a career for yourself and for your dog and a lifestyle. And really, it's not – all you're really doing is showcasing, like, what it's like to be a good dog owner. I mean, that's what you do on your Instagram account is you go out, you take beautiful pictures of your dog having fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's – it's pretty crazy.
That's pretty much what we do. I can't – you know, I can't totally take credit for it. It was just kind of something that,
yeah,
that kind of evolved outside of my own hand. Some different websites wanted to write articles about us, and that's really what really grew our presence on social media. Websites like BuzzFeed or Board Panda, or even like People Magazine, and
wow.
I don't know, we've been like in the LA Times and different things like that. So it was really these opportunities that came about. And I guess the lifestyle that I've developed has just kind of mostly just been kind of a reaction to, not a reaction, but just kind of responding to the opportunities that are given to me and trying to be faithful with telling our story and just kind of working as hard as I can within that. But yeah, I didn't set out to have this, but I'm certainly thankful for it. I'm certainly thankful for Loki, because I think that he tells a story, you know, and I just kind of capture it. He he tells a story with the dog that he is, and he's a really special animal, and I think people can see that through social media. So
yeah, man,
I'm thankful for him in that regard.
Yeah, that kind of gave me chills a little bit. That was really cool. Because you're right, I never really thought about it like that. And Loki, you know, I've met Loki and hung out with you guys, and Loki really is a very, you know, magical kind of creature. I mean, when I first met him, he's so stoic, and I think a lot of people, you know, think maybe he's different than what he is, and I think he's better in real life. Taylor, you know, when Taylor came out with us,
I would agree. He's much better in real life. Yeah. You know, I try to do the best I can to portray it, but you know, it's hard. I think he's a lot more gentle than people would imagine, and he's pretty aloof, and he's kind of his own person, and he almost has like a, to me, he almost has like a personality, like a horse. Like a horse's spirit is very like, you can very much sense their spirit, and Loki's kind of like that in a way.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%. He's very, you're right though. That's a really cool way to put it. Actually, I never really thought about that. You are kind of like telling Loki, like, came to you. Let's rewind a little bit. How did everything start? So you got him as a puppy. Where'd you get him? And what were your first, you know, I guess your first funny times with him? And you were like, okay, this is, you know, this dog is internet worthy. I mean, how did it play out?
Yeah, I did get him as a puppy. I got him from a breeder in Utah, which, looking back, for anyone that's listening and thinking about that, I wouldn't recommend that. I was pretty ignorant at the time. Now I understand that there's a lot of need for adoption with wolf dogs, especially because they're so hard to handle, and so many wolf dogs end up going to sanctuaries because owners really can't provide like the exercise and the life for them that they need, because they can be tremendously destructive and tremendously
puppies are
nervous or have social anxiety. Any northern breed in general, they all can be like that. And even though they might be really beautiful, they can be, you know, incredibly challenging. So it's just something to think about. But yeah, I did get him as a puppy. I brought him home, and I was working for the city of Denver at the time, and up until about a year ago, I was doing that. And I just kind of made it my intention to take him everywhere I possibly could. I remember it was around Christmas time. I would take him to Christmas parties. He would, you know, be around a million different people. I was blowing snow to build a terrain park for the city of Denver, and I took him there, and the snow blowing machines are like big giant jet engines. And really any sort of interaction I could, any errands that I would go on, he'd always come with me. And that's kind of how it started. I didn't really start an Instagram or taking pictures till about a year later. People kind of kept giving me a hard time about it, because my personal Instagram was full of Loki. And people were like, oh, you should just, you know, start an Instagram for him. And anyway, it kind of evolved from there. We started skiing and backcountry snowboarding together when he was about 4 months old. So that same winter that I brought him home. And I would say that's a key factor, like, in his personality and how calm he can be, is when you have a dog, to give them like intense exercise, to totally wear them out, to totally exhaust them, just like we might be when we kind of go on adventures like that. I think they need that to kind of help build their personality, to be calm and I don't know, like a sidekick, I guess.
Yeah. And so you brought him, how old was he when you brought him home?
I think he was 8 weeks old.
Right. So then what you did is you basically just brought him everywhere, and you were taking pictures of him on your personal account, and then your buddies and friends and family were like, hey, you should probably just make him, you know, his own account. And little did you know, putting in Loki the Wolf Dog in a, you know, in an Instagram account is going to change your life, right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think another thing, when he was a puppy, I had a husky before him. that I cared for. It was an ex-girlfriend and I cared for a lot, and I would run him on next to a bike all the time. So I knew as a puppy, I wanted to do the same with Loki. And, so I started walking him next to a bicycle, even at like a month, like 2 months old,
yeah,
3 months old, he would just walk next to a bike. And that has also been like a big factor in that. But yeah, as far as evolution of the Instagram, that's kind of how it happened. It was just, we were actually up in Wyoming with a buddy, and at the time when he was about a year old, taking pictures by this frozen waterfall. And we just, at the time, I thought these photos were like really, really cool. So yeah, if you scroll all the way back, you'll see it as one of the first ones. But that was actually kind of the inspiration for doing it.
That's great, man. And I love, you know, and a lot of this, you know, conversation we're going to be having is going to be a lot about dogs and travel and what to expect. But I think it's important for people to understand that, I think that, you know, I think over the years you've gotten some guff for maybe people saying that you kind of force the social media, or people are saying, don't, you know, maybe don't let your dog do this or let him do that. Or why would you put him here? Why would you put him there? And I don't know if that happens. I mean, I get stuff all the time like that, and I'm just assuming, you know, you're on a way bigger platform and I'm assuming you get stuff like that. But I think it's important for people to understand that you started very organically, and it's something that, like you said, it's very magical how it happened. Is you're basically documenting Loki's life. You're not, your intentions were not to, you know, make a career out of it by any means. I think that's important.
Yeah, that's true. Those conversations happen, or people comment about that all the time. You know, not all the time, but definitely from time to time. Like, yeah, oh, you're using your dog and things like that. But I think the reality is, like, I'm just trying to provide the best life that I can for him.
Yeah.
And me, you know, working with social influencing and different companies and things like that provides him far better of a life than if I was still working 9-to-5 and he was, you know, either an office dog or a stay at home dog or whatever. From his factor, like, he doesn't feel like he's being used. He doesn't have like a pride complex, like, you know, that he's selling out or something like that. He's just enjoying his life with me, because most of the work that we do is just us taking photos in the wilderness.
Yeah.
You know, and occasionally we do some bigger things. But either way, you know, I think
you guys are.
He's happiest because we get to spend every day together.
Yeah. And the time that I spent with you guys, that's exactly what it was. You know, and I didn't know what to expect when I came out and hung out with you guys. And it was such a really rad time. It's something that I'll, you know, remember for a long time, because it's like I was saying in my other podcast, is, you know, I work a lot and I don't really get to hang out with a lot of people with like-minded and like-minded people that, you know, understand the same concepts of dogs and things like that. So I remember when I went out there, I was like, I don't know what to expect at all. And not that I was expecting anything. I was like, this is going to be cool. I can't wait to see like how Loki and Kelly interact, because that's really my, you know, that's what really drew me to you in the first place. I was like, here's a guy that he's making a career off of being a great dog owner, and he's sharing it with millions, you know, potentially millions and millions of people. And if people were to look a little bit further than a really nice picture and say, man, you know, I have a backyard, or I have a local stream, or I have a local field that I can run in, or something like that. That's what I really love about you guys. And when I went out there, that's exactly what it was like. Is you basically let Loki out and he just goes, and you pretty much just follow, and you keep him at a short distance, and he kind of like looks back, and you guys have just such a great relationship. And I think it's something to really, dog owners should, you know, kind of really look at and take notes a little bit, that you're living such a cool life, and people are maybe envious of it and look at it and like, man, that guy's so lucky. And it's really just maybe a little luck. But I think, dude, you really are just a really great dog owner. And that's what's become of all of this. And you take really great photos, and Loki's really beautiful. But I'm really happy for you guys that you're portraying like, hey, man, you guys can do this too. I mean, you guys can go out and be with your dog and let him run or let her run and have a really great time. And that's something that I really enjoyed watching between you guys, is it's real. It's not, let's go take some photos for this company. You guys are really living it. You're the real deal, which is awesome.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. And yeah, I'm definitely passionate about giving him as much freedom as possible and also expecting a lot out of him as far as, you know, behavior and listening to me. So it's kind of a give and take.
Yeah, exactly. And talk to me about a little bit about your experiences, you know, as kind of going back a little bit as puppyhood, going into now he's five, but like, what were like the ones, twos and threes like? Cause I know Malamutes, you know, can be a bit stubborn and things like that. So what were some things that you struggled with in the early beginning besides, you know, maybe him sleeping all the time because he was growing, but what are some things like that you struggled with?
Yeah, definitely. I saw that as a question. You know, when I've heard that when dogs turn about 8 months old, they kind of all of a sudden become probably the hardest to handle. And that was very true for Loki. Right around that time, 8 months old, I'd say he started really tearing things up. He would, you know, be in the backyard and he would tear the screens off the windows of the house. And
what would he do? Just like bite them?
Chew up electric toothbrushes, chew up shoes, chew up, you know, expensive reading glasses. And all the rest, it was, you know, it was as much as any dog. And whenever that happened, I would just try to like really exercise him as much as possible. It's not necessarily like that day, like I exercise him, so he's going to be a good dog that day. It's more of like a long-term investment. That kind of continued. He definitely liked to escape. If I would leave him in the backyard at all, he would oftentimes escape. He wore a GPS tracker when that happened. I still have it. And you know, sometimes if I was away, I'd call up my neighbor and she would go track him down. Definitely nerve wracking because I have a solid 6-foot fence, presumably, you know, unescapable. He doesn't really dig under it, but he found even like a little knot in the fence and like broke through it. I don't know how, I guess with his head, and escaped that way and escaped different ways throughout the years. And, it's a lot to handle. So he was like that. And he would probably still be like that.
Yeah.
If I was not able to, be with him all the time, he would probably, if I went back to having to leave him in the backyard more often than not, then he would probably find ways to escape. And even last year we were in Southern California and I had to leave him in a hotel room for a few hours, and he escaped out of a hotel room by pulling the heavy hotel door inward open towards him, and you know, it's on springs and it's heavy. And he escaped four times, and I came back to the room with a note on my door from the maid telling me that he had escaped.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, it was so gnarly. It was so gnarly. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe he can open sliding glass doors with his nose. And
so he's
he can be
intelligent. I mean, that's incredible. So I can just picture, you know, you going out for something and then like Loki's like, well, dad's gone, so what can I do to go find him? Because you guys have such a great relationship. It's like the, you know, the double-edged sword is you have such a great relationship. So when you leave, he's probably like, well, now what do I do? And I could just picture the maid like, come on, Loki, back into the room. And I could just see him kind of putting his head down like, okay, I'm going to do it again, though.
I'm sure that's how it happened. I mean, to this day, I can't really trust him in another home, but you know, outside of my own home. He can stay in our house just fine, but another house, he'll tear things up or he'll try to escape.
Do you think, going back to like what you were saying about him kind of getting mischievous and chewing up things, do you think that you know, when he did stuff like that, and this is just for, you know, the dog people out there working with, you know, these types of dogs or, you know, just these type of behaviors anyway. Do you think that, you know, when you came home and you saw a shoe or a chewed up toothbrush or really expensive glasses, were you like, okay, my bad, you're right, I should have walked you or I should have ran you? So instead of punishing him by saying bad Loki, you were more, was it more like my fault because I knew that you needed this exercise and you didn't get it? Is that what it was like? Is that what you did?
You know, it's kind of a double-sided coin, I would say. I definitely want to let him know that that's not okay to do.
Yeah.
What
would you do to, like, show him punishment or, you know, say, hey, you know, these are expensive?
I would talk sternly to him. I would put him in timeout. He would know from my posture, mostly my body posture, I would say that things are not okay and that he cannot do that. And
so he feels off that pretty well. Like if you know, kind of like bad Loki or what did you do? And you kind of change your demeanor. He picks up on that pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. That's still now I can like say very few words. I can even just, if something happens and I can just call him in a certain tone, and he knows what he had happened. He knows that he shouldn't have, you know, chewed something up, and he's very smart. I guess I'm under the belief that dogs do remember more than like 5 minutes past, and they can remember that he like had done something, because I'll come downstairs and something will be chewed up, and I'll call him, and he won't come.
And he's like, yeah, I know what you want, but. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I can see Loki kind of like getting like, oh man, what did I do? Cool. What's his daily exercise like now? And again, for people out there listening, for anybody out there listening that, you know, has a dog or any type of dog really, you know,
go ahead. His daily exercise is typically like a couple mile bike ride every day, maybe a little bit less. And then hopefully a few times a week, we have something that's a little bit bigger than that. If we're out on the road, if we're on back roads, like out in the desert or something, I'll just let him go and I'll just drive down the road and he'll just run through the desert, following us for miles. Or we do a lot of snowboarding still, and that really, really wears him out. So yeah, kind of any, all of the above, if nothing's happening, I try to run him. That doesn't always happen. There are definitely days where he doesn't really get any exercise. It's kind of all over the place.
Do you see those side effects from not, like, so he goes out for a, you know, crazy day of snowboarding, the next day he may be tired, but the following day maybe. So do you see any repercussions of not bringing him out? Does he act up at, you know, at this age or maybe even earlier? Was he kind of like spiteful?
He does. I can kind of see a reaction, you know, he'll be tired the next day and I might not, that might be a rest day when I might not run, but, and he doesn't necessarily get like, you know, destructive or, you know, aggressive or anything like that. But he almost as if he kind of like gets suppressed or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of depressed, actually, would be the best way to describe it. He can get a little rowdy, but not really too typically.
Yeah. I remember when we were there, we were chilling in your house, just drinking coffee and talking about life, which was fun. I remember when we were like, all right, man, let's slow it up and go, you know, go on an adventure. And I remember Loki was literally just a slug the entire day, almost like waiting for you to be like, all right, let's go. And then as soon as you asked him, like, I can't remember, you asked him like, want to go for a ride or want to go do something, he turned into like a completely different dog. I mean, he was like, yep. And a lot of dogs out there do that. Like, want to go for a ride? Like, if you get a leash, it's conditioning. So they know that that term or that leash or that collar means that they're going to go do something fun. And as soon as you said that, he probably still does. And he went crazy. He was like, yes, let's go. I've been waiting for this. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally true. Yeah.
And so you exercise him a lot, and I think it's important for people, you know, dog owners in general to realize, even for the dogs that we have here on Board and Train, like I make sure that the board and train dogs, if they're not in our daycare, are walked a couple times a day, you know, around the property, because it's not all about train. It's, you know, there is a lot of outlets that animals have to have. And Loki's just such a great example of a dog that's influenced by many different really troublesome or potentially troublesome breeds and mixes. And you've taken all of those challenges, and I would consider them challenges sometimes, and taking them and really putting them out there to the public, to millions of people. And you're like, look, you know, this is what I do. And I think, at the end of the day, do you think that your goal is to help people understand how to become better dog owners? I mean, what kind of, besides like your love and appreciation and trust and bond with Loki, now that you've built up, you know, people seeing your, millions of people seeing your stuff every time you post, what do you hope people get out of your journey with Loki?
Yeah. As things kind of exploded, I realized that we kind of needed a mission statement, and the mission statement I kind of developed was to inspire other people to get out, explore their world, and make memories with their dogs. And that's at the core what I hope to accomplish with what we have. And, you know, that's a really timely question that you ask, because lately I've really been thinking about what are we doing with this platform? We're telling a story. I hope we're inspiring people, but is there more that we can do?
Right.
And when all is said and done, like, it's great that I have been able to be a professional dog owner.
Yeah.
But I think that there's probably more that we can be doing. And we're kind of in the midst of kind of exploring that and seeing what we can link back to our mission statement, but also beyond that, other ways that we can give back and other ways that we can kind of be a light in the world.
Yeah.
We're kind of on a journey with that right now.
Trying to figure that out. Yeah.
I hope you'll see, you know, some things come out this year that will be kind of in that.
I know you and I, you know, when we sit down together in person, we really bounce off a lot of different things, which is really fun. Cause like I said, like, I really try to surround myself with people that are very like-minded, cause I think it's good for you. You know, it's good for the soul to like have the same, you know, wavelengths, be around those people. And, so when we talk, you know, you were talking about potentially, I know you have a calendar out, which is really great. And that raises money for local charities and shelters and organizations, right?
Yeah. We didn't do one this year because we've actually been writing a book.
Yeah.
And that book's going to come out this summer, which is really, really cool. So we kind of had to devote all of our writing time towards that, or, you know, any sort of print time towards that. So that's really cool.
Yeah. That's exciting.
So, but yeah, we've done a calendar. We've donated to different charities, and we're currently kind of on a path to do that some more. And
that's awesome.
And also looking for new opportunities.
Yeah. And I remember when we were talking about that, and I just, like I said, it's such a big, you know, day in and day out, I try to, you know, on every platform, whether I'm doing a talk or doing a speech, or I run into somebody at the grocery store and they recognize me or whatever. I try my best to influence people as much as possible to really make an impact on, like, making sure that their dog, I think a lot of people who are struggling with dog training have no idea that exercise and relationship is the number one key to success and or to change their problematic behaviors. People literally keep their dogs inside. They let them out to go potty, and then they bring them back in, and then they wonder why their dogs are doing all these things. And you post things like on your story, on your Instagram story, you know, of Loki. Just, I mean, it's inspirational for me. Even I'm like, man, these guys are like out in the wild, like throwing snow around. And I know you guys are having a great time, and it really motivates people like myself, even, that I get to come and work with dogs gratefully every day too. But it makes me want to do more relationship bonding things instead of training. And moving forward, have you, you know, what kind of, I know a lot of questions you get are probably, how did you get Loki to do certain things? But the Husky, the Malamute, and other breeds like that that are influenced in the Loki have an infamous reputation of being terrible off-leash. I mean, you probably get that question all the time. So what are some things that you did, or what are some training techniques that you can give people advice on about the breed and how to overcome these primal instincts of like, hey, I don't want to listen, I want to run?
Yeah, that's a great question. For Loki, I started young, and he was really young when we started going backcountry skiing. And the snow is so deep that he really can't go too far before he gets too tired unless he's walking, like, in my path.
Yeah.
So that was a really good way to start out. And I haven't really done anything specific. I didn't, you know, take him to a trainer growing up. I've had dogs my whole life, and I'm pretty aware of their needs. But I didn't really do much specific. I just kind of would give him as much freedom as possible. And there's kind of a risk to that for sure. And you got to be aware of that risk.
Yeah.
And we all take risks every day. So you just kind of have to weigh out how big of a risk it is. And if in a certain situation you're willing to take it. So when he was off leash as a younger dog and I wasn't quite sure how well he would do, there's a risk to letting him off leash when we're in the woods.
Yeah. I think picking your battles.
Yeah, exactly. And he would wear a GPS tracker, and I managed a high ropes course on a large piece of property at the time when he was younger. And, I could track him down with his GPS tracker, if he ran off, but, it's just kind of giving him freedom, but also at the same time, having a posture towards him that like, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And I'm the boss, and, he's not just going to go do whatever he wants, but at the end of the day, like, I still am the boss. So you can't just have like one without the other, I think.
Yeah.
Which is the big factor. But outside of that, like, he doesn't really respond to treats. So I didn't really treat train him or anything like that. And, it was just kind of small baby steps, I guess, as things kind of progressed.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, Kelly, I think it's important to understand that there are battles to pick. And that's a question I get all the time is, how do I get my dog off leash? And, blah, 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 all these different things of dogs being off leash. And I think that's exactly it, is you have to pick your battles. And one of the things is, you know, with you and your lifestyle, you travel a lot, right? And you're always in the backwoods, if you will. So, you know, mountainous type things. You're from Colorado, so there's a ton of great opportunities to hike and go on trail walks and things like that. And a lot of times you have to be careful about not only like, will your dog come back? It's about, you know, kind of grounding and saying there's potentially going to be some off-leash dogs that may not listen to their owner and come back. And that's always got to be like, kind of nerve wracking, because as much as you love Loki, I mean, he's a huge, I don't want to say asset, but God forbid anything happened to him, you know, it would be detrimental to a lot of different things, unfortunately. But, you know, having him off leash and another dog may not be nice. I think that's something, I guess, refining of what we mean about picking your battles, because that's really big. I remember when you and I were out on a walk, we ran into another dog. I think it was a Husky, and and I was like, and for me and like the professional side, I was like cringing my teeth. I'm like, I hope nothing happens, you know, because there's so many off leash dogs, especially in Colorado. Have you ever run into like any issues with him being off leash and being so? I mean, how I know Loki's 5, but how much does he weigh? I mean, he's pretty big as far as size, but how much does he weigh?
Yeah, he's pretty tall. He's like 30 inches at his shoulder, but he only weighs about 75 pounds right now.
Right.
And that's pretty normal. He usually fluctuates between like 77.
Have you run into those issues, you know, of Loki being off leash and kind of another dog running up to him, and kind of been, has there been any scuffles or scary moments where you're like, holy crap? Because you're off leash a lot.
You know, I'm trying to think of anything. There.
That's good.
There
if you can't.
There's definitely been some times where I don't think I've ever been in the woods where Loki has, you know, gotten in a fight or anything like that.
Good.
With another dog. You got to be pretty aware of it. And he's pretty non-confrontational,
yeah,
with other dogs. If he senses that another dog is going to be aggressive, usually he kind of keeps his distance, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But more than that, as an owner, you really have to keep your head on a swivel more than him. You really
right.
have to be aware of what's out there more than him. For instance, like, if I'm out in the woods, I've got to be looking, watching for rabbits or deer or whatever else, like, better than Loki,
right.
better than a dog, because I've got to be able to stop him. Even last night, I was out working in my garage, and he was there was a rabbit in my neighbor's yard right next door, like 20 feet away. And I was able to, he saw it, but it hadn't moved yet. And I was able to catch him and call his name very sternly. And he stopped, and he was about to run for it and didn't.
Good.
But that only happened because I was watching. I was looking. And or else, if I wasn't paying attention, he would have taken off, run through the neighborhood, and come back.
That's a great point. And I try to tell that to people too. You know, with the training that I do, I train a lot of off-leash stuff, and I always tell people exactly that: keep your head in a swivel, because if you're going to let your dog off leash, it's your responsibility. You have to make sure that there's no other dogs. Like, we have a golf course right above my facility, and in the winter, obviously, there's nobody golfing because we have a lot of snow, and so we go up there all the time, and I'm always keeping my head in the swivel just to make sure that there's not even other dogs, but skunks and things like that. And I think that that's a really good point for people out there wondering about off-leash work and potentially having your dogs off-leash. It's more important to make sure that your dog is safe, you know, because it's your responsibility.
Yeah, no doubt.
Definitely.
No doubt. Yeah, Loki has been quilled by a porcupine. We were sleeping in the back of my truck, and in the middle of the night, he jumped out of the truck, woke me up, and before I knew it, he had been quilled by a porcupine that was sniffing around our campsite. Fortunately, porcupines aren't typically a life or death situation. So we took off, went down to a vet clinic, and
I think you told
caught them all.
Was that in Alaska, or was that a different time?
Bailey, Allie's dog got quilled by a porcupine in Alaska.
That's
in
what
like
it was.
3 minutes of being out of the truck, all
yeah.
of a sudden, boom, he got quilled. And luckily, I had already been through that with Loki, and I was able to, it wasn't that bad. And I was able to pull them all out.
Good. Tell me about that. Tell me not to interrupt. Sorry, Kelly. Tell me about that.
No, go ahead.
Tell me about that a little bit more, because, you know, I love dogs. I love the outdoors. I love the freedom. Makes me super jealous. You get to do this type of stuff all the time. Explain to me when you're, and Allie's your girlfriend. You guys kind of travel all over the place with each other, correct? And she has a shepherd, right?
Yeah, we do.
So you guys travel, right? So I can just imagine you pulling up. Did you have your Tundra, right? Your truck?
Yeah, we had the truck. We pulled up to a spot, let them go to the bathroom. I think I was actually going to work on my computer for a few minutes because we had some service, which is kind of a rare thing in Alaska.
Yeah.
And anyway, I took them out, and they kind of went down by this big Alaskan river through the slow brush. And I think I called him and he didn't come back. And I was like, so I went down, walked down there, and Loki came back and Bailey was nowhere to be seen. And usually when they're chasing a wildlife, they kind of have this like brother mentality where like one of them will do the chasing and the other one's like, I'm a good dog, I'm going to stay back. And like,
yeah,
like,
I'm the
check
good boy.
Me out, dad. Like, I'm
yeah.
the good child right now. And that's what happened. Loki was the good child at the moment. And then moments later, Bailey came back through the brush with quills all over his nose. And we never ended up even seeing the porcupine. He I'm sure he walked away peacefully. But anyway, we just got him in the back seat of the truck, laid him down. Allie tried to hold him down as best as possible. I grabbed a pair of big old pliers and
plucked him out,
pulling him out, which is basically what you do.
Welcome to Alaska.
With porcupine quills. Yeah.
So what an experience to be driving through Alaska, you know, with your best friends and being able to experience that and capture that on some beautiful pictures and stuff. But I've never been to Alaska. I certainly want to go. Explain to me what you felt when you started like seeing the snow-capped mountains and the streams and the rivers, and you're just literally going through a wilderness paradise with some of your best friends. I mean, explain to me what you felt at that time. Like, how, you know, what was it like to do something like that? I know when I get into situations where it's very serendipitous, where you're like, man, this is just surreal. It's got to be what it was like for you guys, right?
Yeah, man, it's incredible. Alaska is such a wild place. It feels like the frontier. It feels like you're living back in the Wild West, just because there's so few people.
Yeah.
Roads kind of only go where there's some sort of necessity or industry.
Wow.
And we just could kind of camp wherever, oftentimes like out on these big Alaskan river bars.
Wow.
And it's incredible, man. But it's also like it puts you on your toes, because, you know, that was my second time going to Alaska, but I'm not familiar with it enough to like understand how much freedom to give the dogs per se. So
yeah,
much of the time we had them stick very close to us because of bears, because of moose can be very aggressive, even wolves. So any of those situations, especially through British Columbia, there's so many bears driving through British Columbia. We like never let the dogs out of our sight. And we're very conscious about where we camped, and actually ended up camping quite a bit in campgrounds in British Columbia, because I think we were just a little bit like ignorant and unaware of like how much freedom we could have camping around so many bears. So yeah, it's an incredible experience, man. Like, it's a true adventure just to be out there. It's a lot of driving, though, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that's a hike. But it sounds like it was totally worth it. And I'm really happy for you guys being able to do that. That's really rad. I always tell people too, kind of going a little off topic, a happy dog never runs away. And if your dog is content with you and understands you, and that's really why I wanted to create a relationship with you, is because I saw what you were doing, and your relationship first and training really, like you said, and for everyone out there listening, you know, you didn't really do any formal training, and that's huge. And I wouldn't have a business if everyone was like you. So that's something to say, but, it's true though, is if you have a great relationship with your dog, aside of like competitive obedience and things like that, and sports with your dogs, you really don't need to go in and condition and train for things. A lot of bad behaviors are created off, you don't know your dog. You're too into other things, or you're just not aware. And maybe you shouldn't even have an animal. Maybe you should just stick to like a Tamagotchi or something like they used to have. But I really love that you're able to experience things like that. And there's people, dude, there's people out there on so many different levels that could have went up to Alaska and let their dog off leash because of the freedom they thought they had, and their dog literally just goes into like a bear den or just runs away and never comes back. But the relationship, I don't think anything has to do with training with you and Loki. The relationship between you two is what is bonded, of like him coming back and him like not wanting to leave because he's happy and fulfilled. And I think dogs who are unfulfilled will run away and find trouble somewhere. And not that Loki doesn't get into trouble, but a lot of times the only time it does happen is if he's not fulfilled with something, or if he's, you know, if you're not around. And it's a constant game, I'm sure. But it's really cool, you know, you get to be able to do that. And I think me as a canine professional, looking at your lifestyle with Loki, it's just such a nice, refreshing thing to see, because I'm like, why can't people just understand that this is what dogs need? And I'm really, really happy to be able to talk to you about it. So right now, like, what's your, I know that you, so we're going to go back a little bit maybe to the talking about like Instagram and things like that, because I think it's really awesome for anybody out there that has a dog. You know, you like I said, you have millions of people watching your moves and what you do, and now you've become a social influencer for different things. And why don't you talk a little bit about that? Like, who are some bigger companies that people would bigger companies that people would know that have reached out to you guys and said, "Hey, you guys are freaking awesome because you have a great relationship. Your dog, you know, it's not about, wow, your dog sits really nice. It's like, no, you guys are primal and out there and doing things." Tell me about some opportunities that have happened for you because of your good dog ownership. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say the first one that ever happened was a pet food company that we're still with, and they're called I Am Loving You Pet Food, and they're based in Boulder. And we had very few followers, and they reached out and were like, "Hey, we really like, you know, believe in your adventures and believe in what you're doing."
Great.
And we started working together, and it's every relationship is different. Every brand partnership is very different. Some of them I've reached out and contacted them. Other ones have contacted me. Some other ones that people may know of would be like Toyota. We have a partnership with Toyota, and that relationship started because after we really started growing, after we spread across the internet for a short amount of time, I saw some other social influencers like representing car brands, and I'm like, well, heck, I've been like a Toyota fan my whole life. I'm just going to figure this out. I'm just going to figure out who the marketing company is that represents Toyota, and I'm going to call them. I just literally just cold called them, and I was like, this is who I am. I have like a pretty large social media platform, and I have this idea. And a year and a half later, that was a long time ago, a year and a half later, it finally kind of solidified. And Toyota would be a brand partner.
So within that year and a half, did they just say, yeah, we'll let you know, and then they called you again or something?
Well, yeah, it was a big back and forth because I have always communicated directly to the marketing agency, not necessarily to Toyota.
Right.
And they were on board, but it took some conversations, a lot of conversations to kind of convince Toyota to do this. And so it was very much a long process, and then a long like process to kind of figure out the contract and figure out what that would look like and whatnot. It was just kind of back and forth. I think it was totally out of left field for them because they had never really worked with somebody like me before.
Yeah. And, what happened after that conversation? What did they supply you with as far as a brand?
Well, we promote their 4Runner on our page. So we post for their 4Runner. You'll see it on Loki's page and throughout our stories. And
that's excellent.
So that's what we do.
Sweet. What are some other things you got going on? That's really cool.
Oh man,
you did some cool stuff at Mercedes-Benz. That was cool.
Yeah, that actually happened after I had reached out to Toyota, but I didn't really know if it was going to take or not, and I hadn't heard from them, and then Mercedes wanted to like do this special project, and it was so much fun.
I remember you telling me how cold
it was. It was kind of like a one-off deal. Yeah, it was, we shot that video, if you've seen the Mercedes video. And it was -40 out one day when we were shooting. And even I got like a little bit of frostbite on a few of my fingers.
Wow.
And it was gnarly. And Loki, that was really the only time in his life that I've ever seen him like kind
cold.
Of look at me and be like, what the heck are we doing out here, man? but that was like one out of like four or five days of shooting. And that was a fun project that we did, but that was kind of like a one-off deal, and I was more interested in like a long-term relationship. So, and Toyota, I've always been a Toyota fan. Mercedes isn't really like our
too much dog
sweet spot,
hair.
So,
Anyway,
Toyota. What are some, I'm trying to think of some other brands that
I was sponsored or affiliated by a company out of Utah, Wolfgang Man and Beast, and I remember. when I was out with you, I was like, hey, man. And that was a company that when I reached, I basically reached out to them and I didn't know who they were. And they were so small at the time. And I don't know how the heck I found out about them, but I don't remember. But I remember reaching out to them being, hey, like your brand is me. I'm like, I literally like work with wolves and dogs professionally. And, you know, I think that we would be a really good fit. I love it. I love what you guys are doing. And they agreed and I signed up with them. And then I remember when I was out with you, I think last year, I was like, hey man, you know, I work with these guys, out of Utah. And I remember you being like, yeah, I've heard of them. I think I met with them one time or something like that. And then you guys connect, and I connected you guys, and you guys did a collaboration recently, right? With some leashes and collars and stuff.
Yeah. That was an amazing connection. Thank you so much for that. I met those guys. I ended up meeting those guys and they wanted to do like a collab. So I worked with their designer, Kevin, and we kind of developed this leash, and we'll probably develop some more here in the future. Love those guys. It's a really, really cool small group of individuals out in Salt Lake City that are putting together this just a really cool brand with a really, really cool culture.
Good.
I love kind of what they stand for and what they're interested in representing. They're a great brand.
Yeah, I'm really happy I could connect you guys with them. I agree. I think that you guys were a perfect fit, and I'm glad it worked out. And then you did some stuff with REI, right?
Yeah, we've done some stuff with REI. We shot a video for them. You can check it out on YouTube, Camping with Loki the Wolf Dog. We've done a few other things with them, like for their Opt Outside campaign over Thanksgiving. We work with GoPro. That was a big part of our story, actually. We got connected with GoPro. We kind of won this video contest that me and my friend Nate took some video of Loki snowboarding and put together a little video, won a video contest, and ended up getting invited to go to the GoPro Mountain Games in Colorado. And since then, we've had a good relationship with those guys. Love GoPro. Love the community that those guys represent. Yeah. It's just a really inspirational like group of people to be around. It's really cool.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
So yeah, what are some other things?
Tin cup?
With some other vehicle brands, like a rooftop tent company. It's called Go FSR. And I saw there was a question of how I get Loki in the rooftop tent. I've only done that once. Typically the dogs sleep down below us. So they typically either sleep in the back of the truck with the windows open or in the 4Runner with the windows down, cracked. And I just pick them up and I just carry them up the ladder and pick them up and carry them back down the ladder. And it's my heart's like pounding by the time that's over. But we did that for like a video last year.
And then I think I said it, 10 Cup Whiskey. Did you guys do something with them?
Yeah. Loki's, I like to call him like, he's like the spirit animal of Tin Cup Whiskey, which is a whiskey brand out of Denver. And we've done some photo shoots with those guys, had a blast.
Cool, man. All right. So right now so fast forward and rewind, I want to kind of recap on some things. You basically, you know, got Loki, started this social media account, and then it kind of grew and grew and grew and grew. And now you do this full time. You travel the country and you work with all these awesome outdoor brands. And you get to pretty much live the best life ever with Lokes. And all of that, me looking in on that, really looks like, you know, it was created off hard work, passion, and good dog ownership. And I think that you guys represent all of those things all the time. And I really love that, and I appreciate our friendship, and you know, you guys are doing some really great stuff. And what are your plans for this next year besides a book? I mean, I know you do a lot of stuff for travel. You've done some social media stuff for the different states. Is that right?
Yeah, we've done some things with different states. That's
crazy.
Like a big passion, because we're already traveling and it's really cool to highlight areas in different ways. Like I said, we've got that. It's a book coming out. You can actually find it on Amazon already as a pre-order. What's that? It's called Wild Together. So if you look that up on Amazon, it's going to be kind of like a photo-centric book.
Kelly, did you just...
With copy. Allie wrote all the copy in the book.
Did you just read... Did you read my mind, or is Allie standing next to you?
She's sitting next to me.
Because I was like going to ask you what it's called, and you're like, what's that? Oh, it's called this. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. What just happened? Yeah. Okay, cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Hi, Allie.
But I'm not that cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it's called Wild Together, and... it'll come out on July 3rd and you can pre-order it at any time.
That's
it's
dope.
About to go to print right now. We're just kind of finalizing.
Ah, that's
the
exciting.
Final draft.
What's it going to be about?
What's that?
I said, what's it going to be about? I mean, tell me a little bit about the book. I mean, what are you guys going to be?
It's kind of our memoirs. It's kind of written in a way where, it's almost like a journal entry. Each page you can read individually and you don't have to necessarily know what's on the page before or the page
awesome.
After. And some of them are trying to answer some of the questions that we get a lot about our life and about traveling. Other ones are just hopefully relatable to anyone with a dog, like the idea and the process and the emotional journey that we go through of as your dog is a puppy and as he gets older and as he's old. Other ones are about traveling and about different places that we go to. Anyway, we actually started writing that book on our Alaska trip.
Sweet.
So it's really written kind of in a vein of our travels and our adventures along the way.
That's awesome, man. I wanted to ask you a question before I forget. So there's one picture, and I've mentioned to you before, that I was born in the Springs too, so I'm a Colorado native. So I love Colorado. It's somewhere like I feel like I'm still in my 20s, and I feel like in the next 10 years, I'll find myself somewhere nestled in Colorado mountains, like training dogs. But anyway, I love that idea.
That's awesome, man. I hope to see you here.
Me too. There's a picture that has always, like, if I could pick one place, it would be the picture that you posted of that little cabin with, like, the little wood stove that I see you post about sometimes, and I need more information about it. And tell me, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh man, you're asking me to give away my
nope.
one of my biggest secrets.
I'm not. I'm just. I want you to tell me just a little bit about it, because I almost don't want you to tell me anything about it as far as like where it's at and how you found it. But I want to. And then for anybody out there that's watching this on YouTube, because we're going to do a YouTube, because we're filming as well. We got like three camera angles. I'm going to post that picture on my YouTube channel so you guys can see where it's at. But it's like the most remarkable, beautiful little cozy cabin nestled somewhere. And for all I know, it could be a set somewhere that you made up in Hollywood or in your basement, but can you tell me about it a little bit?
Yeah, I'll give you some insight. It's in a place that we snowboard quite a bit.
Cool.
And somebody built it probably back, I'm guessing like in the 70s, as kind of a little ski shack.
Wow.
It's got a couple little bunks in there and a wood stove, and it's not so glamorous on the inside. On the outside, it looks so cool. It's just a really cool little cabin. But we've slept in it before and kind of accessed this certain zone to ski. There's quite a few of those in Colorado. Most of them, though, are managed by like a system, and none of those you can have dogs at. However, occasionally you'll find some out in the woods that somebody had built like forever ago as like a little ski shack.
Yeah.
And those are kind of our sweet spots. They're pretty dumpy inside, but on the outside, they're incredible, man.
I think though, if you have a wood stove and a dog and like a good cup of coffee, I think you're good. I don't really.
What more do you need, man? What more do you need?
Yeah, I think that's all you need. Cool. And I know one of the other questions I wanted to ask you is, do you ever get like freaked out by some of the, I know like a lot of celebrities follow you guys. Have you ever had a chance to meet some of these guys that follow you? And do you ever freak out where you're like, wow, you know, this person's following me. That's pretty crazy. Any experiences on that?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. Celebrities that follow Loki. There are a few. Loki is who connected me with one of the guys from Florida Georgia Line, Brian Kelly.
And yeah, BK.
We've become good friends, and Allie and his wife have become good friends, and hopefully going to go on some trips or whatnot. But
yeah, dude. Go ahead.
Well, actually, let me rewind. That's probably an exaggeration. We haven't really become good friends, but we have hung out.
Okay.
We have hung out, and I love their music, and we keep in touch from now and again, and so that's probably a misnomer. We're not exactly like
no,
tight,
but that's really cool. BK's for those of you who don't know, BK is one of the singers in Florida Georgia Line, which is like one of the biggest recording country music star artists out there. He's actually reached out to me a couple times too. He's building, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but he's building, he's building some stuff with dogs, or he's doing some stuff with dogs, and he actually reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in coming out and doing some stuff in Nashville with him, or for him, or whatever. So that's really cool. Maybe he connected from you to me. I don't know, but yeah, BK's...
I think he followed... I don't know, man. I don't know which one came first, but man, that's... I would love to see you guys partner up on something. He's such a good guy, and I think people see those guys and might not really know,
cool.
what they're all about. But him and his wife are just the most genuine, down to earth, quality people.
Yeah,
man, they're some good people.
Yeah, he seems really cool. I hope I get to work with him. So he's got like four shepherds or something, and
he's got four shepherds. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, we talk about dogs and things like that. Maybe I'll hook up with them sometime. What about some other, anybody else you could tell top of your head?
Oh man. We did a video with a Paralympian back in December, and it's kind of making its way around the internet right now. Her name's Oksana Masters, and she did really well in the Paralympics this winter. And we were so stoked to kind of highlight her on some channels. I know some professional skiers and I got to really think about that for a second. Loki kind of connected me with, Renan Ozturk. If you've heard of him, he's a mountain climber, video maker, climber. Yeah. And, him and his wife are great people. Loki, I'm very thankful for some
That's
of the
awesome.
Relationships that Loki has built, outside of just people of influence, people all across the world, we've met because of Loki, and very thankful for that.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. Awesome. Well, I'm going to read off a couple questions that I posted on my, my Instagram here, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions and we'll see what we got. And so let's see, talk about traveling with Loki, planes, trains, and cars, how to do it safely, and how to interact with people working with transportation places and et cetera. So what do you think about that? We've kind of
I saw that question. I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
We only drive. So first off, we only drive. I pray to God I'll never need to put Loki underneath a plane.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go the route of like getting him certified as a service dog, because that's a privilege for people who actually need that. And I don't want to abuse that privilege to like have Loki in the cabin. So as it stands right now, hopefully we'll only ever need to just drive. Which is pretty gnarly. It's a pretty big sacrifice. And that kind of circles back to the idea of like, if you have a dog, you've got to be ready to sacrifice for them.
Yeah.
And like we're packing up and going to go to Portland tomorrow. It usually turns into about a 22-23 hour drive. And that's heavy and it's gnarly. And luckily the dogs do really well in the car. We don't really have any problems. They pretty much just sleep all the time. So traveling is pretty clear cut for us, and it's pretty easy when it comes to decision making for me, whether when it comes to opportunities or where I'm going or what I'm doing. Like,
yeah.
If I can drive there, great, let's make it happen. But if I can't, it's probably not going to happen. And I've turned down you know, a lot of trips with friends.
Have you?
I've turned down a lot of different things.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. They're like, hey, come here. And yeah, like, yeah, if Loki can't come, I can't come.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm going to Guatemala in a few days, which is the first time I've been away from Loki in forever. And it's only because I trust Allie with Loki. He'll be hanging out with Allie for a couple of days.
Cool.
That's the first time I've been abroad in forever. I used to travel abroad quite a bit. And so, yeah, that's kind of our big factor in traveling.
I got another question for you and Loki. and you may not be able to answer this because it's actually a really good question. What's your favorite, and this is by Cordy Pearson's. What's your favorite thing you've done with Loki?
What's my favorite thing I've done with Loki? Was that the question?
Yeah.
Did I hear you right?
Yeah. What's your favorite thing you've done with Loki?
Oh man, dude.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
I love to explore really wild and remote places outside of, you know, you might notice on our channels, we don't really post much from national parks because dogs aren't really allowed in national parks outside of like a parking lot. Usually they're not allowed on trails and things like that. So
yeah. That
kind of forces us to get out farther. And if you're listening and looking for places to explore, I would explore wilderness areas. Usually dogs can be in wilderness areas. Those are usually federally governed lands. Or you can look for BLM land, Bureau of Land Management.
Oh, that's good to know.
Or just basic forest, like national forest, which is different than national parks or national monuments or state parks.
Yeah.
So I can think of a few places like out in the desert that we've gone to that you get out there and there really is literally no one around for miles, maybe dozens of miles. And I think being out there just with the dog or just with Allie and the dog is a really, really like unique feeling.
Like this,
it's a feeling that you don't experience, just the solitude factor of you being the only ones within earshot and within eyesight. If you were to get on top of a mountain and look, you might be the only person within eyesight. And that's a really, really fascinating experience.
Yeah.
And, that's probably my fondest memory.
That's great. And is it like, what makes it, I mean, at night, like the stars and stuff, that's probably pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, the stars are wild, man. There's no light pollution. And it's really incredible when you get out there and realize how much the city lights or lights in general can affect the stars. And
wow.
Man, it's incredible.
That's really cool. And then all the other questions we've actually pretty much answered. But before I forget also, is there is one of my clients has a friend that loves Loki. And he found out that I was connected to you and friends with you. And he actually sent me some coffee. And that was really cool. His name is Ken Sagaretto or something. And he sent me some really good, like, the cigar company, I forget, but it's like a really big cigar company. I don't smoke cigars, so I can't remember. But he sent me like these K-cups. And he wrote like this note. He's like, hey, Tom, keep doing what you're doing, something like that. And I think there was something in there about Loki too. So thanks Loki for the coffee because you made that happen. And that's always good when I get free coffee.
Nice.
Yeah. So if I were you, I'd be all over a coffee company. You got nobody right now that's like, hey, here's some coffee.
Sorry, you cut in and out just a little bit. Do I have a?
You don't have a coffee company that you're sponsored or endorsed by?
I don't have a coffee company that I'm sponsored by. We worked with a company called Grounds and Hounds a little while back.
That's cool.
And they donate quite a bit of their money to feeding rescue dogs, dogs in shelters and things. Really cool company, but currently we're not associated with the coffee company.
I might set that up for you and, you know, just dress myself up and one of my dogs as you and Loki and see if I can make that happen and just redirect.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Redirect everything back to my facility. No, I'm just kidding. Cool.
You know, I did see one other question that I thought would be kind of funny to answer. Somebody said, how do you deal with fur in the truck?
Oh, yeah. Shoot, and I forgot that one. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say my three biggest goals in life are to drink more water, have better posture, and to brush my dog every day. And none of those things actually happen, but those are always the goal. And the hair in the truck is so bad, but really it comes down to how well we brush the dogs and having a really powerful shop vac that helps pull the hair out of the vehicle when we're home.
Yeah, that's huge. I have so much hair. Like when people get in my truck, because my truck is usually just me from A to B and then my dog's riding with me to A to B and similar to what you do. And then like when other humans get into the truck, like I forget that there's other people out there that just don't work and love dogs the way that I do. So when they get in, they literally like fanning dog hair all out of their face. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like you don't have dogs, you know, it's funny.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Cool. I think that's it for today. I'm definitely going to have you back onto the show, but, you know, I really appreciate your valuable time, man. And people can find Kelly at, Loki, the Wolf Dog on pretty much any platform. And then you can find Kelly's personal account on what is Shark Tooth. Is that what it is?
It's Shark Tooth with an F at the end, instead of a TH on Instagram.
Yeah, and then you can also follow Allie, too, and she takes a lot of great photos of the boys, if you will. What's Allie's handle?
Allie's handle is A Cookie, but it's A-C-O-U-C-K-E. Yeah. But it's pronounced Cookie for all those who might be wondering.
Allie Cookie. I didn't know that.
And Allie does a really good job of like painting a picture of her life, like in a different, in a better way than I do personally. I think that she just,
she brings a lot
better
of
better at kind of,
yeah, she brings a lot of humor to the table, which I really enjoy. Like I'm just scrolling through Instagram or on stories and
yeah, no doubt. And I think she just kind of describes the inner workings of our life a little bit better.
Yeah. So you can find Allie too. And, Allie's dog, Pelly. Cool, man. I appreciate your time, like I said, and I think we should get together, get a road trip together, fly out, put on the, you know, maybe put on a couple different Into the Wild soundtracks and hit the road and go somewhere and do some cool stuff.
Heck yeah.
And I appreciate your time, brother. And I'll actually text you because I'm going to be, like I said, I'm going to be out in Portland in a couple weeks. I'll text you. And if you or Allie are around, we can get coffee or something. And but either way, I look forward to seeing you sometime this year. And I appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you soon.
Sweet, man. So stoked. Hopefully we can connect in Portland.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see you either way.
All right, man. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
All right,
have a
peace.
Good day.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the No Bad Dogs podcast with Kelly Lund and Loki, the Wolf Dogs owner. And I really do appreciate you guys listening along. I'm going to keep doing these things as long as you guys keep listening. So don't forget to subscribe and download. And for those of you who are listening on YouTube, smash that subscribe button, share it with anybody else you think that would like to see this. I appreciate you guys' valuable time, and I'll talk to you next week. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.